We have been looking through Immovable and the immovable Lord Jesus Christ. And is our faith in Him immovable? We started off with the key verse for this whole section. It says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil." And the first of those three anchors that we were going to set down for our faith to be immovable was love. And we looked at how this kind of love is a sacrificial love. It is a powerful love. And it's a love that sets us apart. It's what makes us different. "By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." We are an example of true love. The kind of love that Christ wants us to have on display in our life is that of Joseph and how he treated his brothers. And the counterexample was Samson. The second anchor that we had for our soul was our faith. And we looked at how faith is the ultimate victory. Victory over sin, over death, over pain, over struggle, over the devil. It's our faith that makes us righteous, and we have Abraham as an example for that. And it's our faith that motivates us to serve. Our example of faith was Caleb. Our counterexample that we looked at last week was Asa from 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12. And our third anchor for the soul is that of hope. And as we've been looking at hope last week, Our key verse for hope was 1 Thessalonians 4:14. I started looking at hope with this verse, and I ended looking at this verse as we looked at hope. And it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Hope of what? Hope of a better home. Hope gives us confidence and the hope of a finished work. And tonight, as we continue and as we move on, we want to take a look at, finally, an example of the kind of hope that we ought to have and a counterexample of that false hope, the fake hope that we get from the world. And as I was thinking about hope, and as I was thinking about examples in the Word of God, I was thinking, you know, in our lives, there are definitely times where our faith is tried. And the world around us seems as if someone could say that in that moment, they are hopeless. But we, as those who believe in Jesus Christ, we have hope. But sometimes when I compare it to the heroes of the faith, the people that we think about in the Word of God, and I think about what they had to go through. And I think about the things that I complain about. And the times where my hope and my faith, I might say, might be stretched. I know that I need to change my perspective. Some of the things that maybe I have found trying lately might have been when I had to wait too long in the line at McDonald's. Or maybe I think about, Joseph Haberdink. I know that I've read his testimony a few times, and he gave it the other night of what he's been through. He's been through a lot, times where there is hopelessness. But I thought it kind of comical. What was he complaining about as his problem the other night? His name, right? The terrible way to spell his name. My mother, since the time I was young, I have an uncle who's very horrible at spelling, and she always blamed it on his name, because his name was Daryl Wilson. And does anybody know how to spell Daryl right? There's probably 30 different ways to spell Daryl, and you always feel, when you're a double-L'd Wilson, you always feel like you're spelling your name wrong. And so those are things that you can complain about. And I was reminded of that, and I was thinking about that when I saw up on the screen, Darren Crewson. None of those are, neither of those are right. I see Darren's name every day, and that's not, but he's got one of those names that's tough to spell. And the guy I want to talk about tonight, and I think about the problems that he was facing. And I know, maybe you're sitting there and you have much bigger problems than how to spell your name or how long you've waited in line at McDonald's or you know, is the ball game on the right television station? Or I don't know what we can complain about. But when we complain about the guy that I'd like to look at tonight as an example, and I'd like to think about what this young man went through and how his hope was in the Lord. So tonight, maybe your problems are a lot bigger than how long you waited in line at McDonald's and how you spell your name and you can't find the remote to the television. Maybe your problems this evening that you brought here to church are much bigger than those problems. I'd like to offer you hope from an example of someone who had hope in the midst of hopelessness. And that guy is Daniel. And I think about Daniel. You read the end of the book of 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles. You read in Ezekiel, and you begin to read what other people talk about what Daniel would have went through as a young guy, probably younger than the boy sitting over here. And what he would have gone through as the Babylonians invaded his home, as they surrounded the city and laid siege to it, and what they would have had to go through in order to find their daily food. And then to watch as the Babylonians became victorious and probably did terrible, awful things to that young man. Maybe killed his parents in front of him. Burned his house to the ground. And took away every rock that he had held on to in his life except for one. God. They couldn't take that away from that young man. And they would have marched him across the desert and into the halls of Nebuchadnezzar's court. And then they began to try to change his life and to just completely indoctrinate him and change his thinking. And to take him away from a spiritual foundation that I've told this to kids. I believe that Daniel had to have. In order for him to react the way that he did through his life and the things that he was able to accomplish for the Lord, there had to have been a good foundation in that young man as he was brought up. Even the way his parents named him, God will judge. And then he gets into Nebuchadnezzar's court, and I've tried to put myself in Nebuchadnezzar's shoes many times and thought about the things that he'd gone through, and most likely they're worse than I would even dare to try to explain in a church service. But in spite of all of that, it says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And right from the beginning, we see a young man that left his hope in the Lord, And we could go through this whole book, and we could look at how when everyone was told to only pray to King Darius, and to not go and pray to their God. Daniel said, I've been through this before. When it feels like there's no hope and there's no way out. And I know that the only place that I find hope in those moments is in my God, because He's my rock. He's immovable. And you try to shake me, you try to move me. But my rock is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had not been born yet. Excuse me with that. But my hope is in the God of Israel, Jehovah. And he prayed for Jerusalem. And you have to think about it. Is that city has been destroyed. And he knew that what the prophets had said, that they would go back to the land. I'm sure in his mind, I wonder in his mind, if he was reminded of what Jacob went through as he ran from home off to Laban. When God met with him and said, Jacob, go, flee from Esau. But this place where you're sleeping tonight on a rock, if you go and if you leave, I promise you that when you go off to Laban, I will be with you through all of that. And if I send you out there, I'm going to bring you right back to this place, I promise you. And so as Daniel prayed for his homeland, I wonder if he said, yeah, I have hope. Sure, it looks like there's no way out. And you just think about time and time again in that young man's life, what he faced as he's brought before Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and his life is constantly put in peril, in danger, like my life never has been. His hope was on his Savior. And when everything else seemed like it was coming down, his hope was in the Lord. And I know that we have problems that we face on a day-to-day basis. Maybe we wonder about and we worry and we fret about our finances. Our hope is in a God who can, as Adam prayed tonight, do with them what he wants. Right? Maybe it's in something medical. A physical ailment that we don't know how we are going to get through. Or what is going to be the solution. Or what can God do with that? Our hope is in God. Maybe it's a family thing that just seems hopeless. A child that is run from the faith, or a parent that we think will never accept Christ. And we have to think about what Daniel, all alone, his anchor, his rock, his hope was in his God. And you see an immovable kind of hope. I mean, we could use Daniel for all of these, right? An immovable type of faith. An immovable type of love for his God. That I think really, really changed the world, what Daniel did. And you read this book, and I keep saying to myself as I read the book of Daniel, that guy shouldn't have hope. If there's anybody that you would think would feel a sense of hopelessness, it's that guy. But no, he, right from the beginning, purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. His hope was in his God. And when all else seemed to fall apart, there Daniel was. He had hope. And the counterexample that I have tonight, as I think about counterexample, and as I thought about, this is the one, hope was really the one that inspired me to do the counterexamples for faith, hope, and love. Hope was the one that inspired me to do the counterexamples, because I thought the world wants to give you hope all the time. It wants to give you hope that that if you go down and you follow this business venture, you follow this plan, that all your financial worries will be taken care of. How many of you have ever heard that one before? Right? If you buy my book and follow my easy 10-point plan, you'll never have to worry again. You know, that's the type of hope that the world has to offer. Or maybe our hope is in a relationship. That this person can meet all of our needs. Or maybe our hope is in, maybe your hope's in the federal government. I don't know, but maybe, I don't know. Or maybe an election or a politician will save the day. Or a lot of people hope in a lot of things. They often turn to a lot of things. And the counterexample that I have comes from the book of Joshua chapter 7. And I think that's Achan. As I think about Achan, I think that guy thought he had some hope that if he could just do things his way and not just trust in God and what God had to offer, that he could make it out and that he could solve all his problems with one tiny little thing, and if he followed through with that, then maybe all of his problems would be solved. He had hope in the wrong thing, right? If I just, let's read the story of Achan in Joshua chapter 7, and let's look a little bit at what it says there. Actually, if we start over and we get kind of a little bit of background in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18, where it says, where the Lord says, "And you by all means abstain from the accursed thing, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." It's Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. God said to the people, he said, "Stay away from Jericho." And God had his reasons for telling the people to stay away from Jericho, to stay out of that cursed land. He had something better prepared for them. And he said, don't go in there. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. I have cursed it. And God knows what he's doing when he says that. I think so much about what the Bible has to say. When it says things like the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. God said that, right? He had a reason for it. He actually said, when you're faced with the temptation of money becoming the number one thing in your life, run from that as far away, as fast as you can from that. But so often we think, oh, well, if I can, that will solve all my problems. Or so many people think that maybe turning to a pill or turning to alcohol will solve all their problems, and they rest their hope in that. It won't solve their problems. It won't fix it. Or maybe their hope is in a program or an individual, and some things, they can help. Someone can come alongside of you and can help you through a time of trouble. But is your hope ultimately in the Lord? Or is it in something that's going to fall, that's going to crumble? Because if our hope is in the Lord, our hope in God, in our Savior Jesus Christ, that's an immovable kind of hope. And when everything else is crumbling around, if our hope is in the Lord, He will carry us through it. And how often have we said, God doesn't say he's going to make you avoid those problems. He doesn't say he's going to make your life perfect and the problems won't come. No. He tells you that if he brings the problems, he's going to be with you through the problems. and he will be your hope during the problems. But let's see how Achan faced it. It says in Joshua chapter 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. He took of the accursed thing. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." And we know this story. We know how the children of Israel went up to Ai to fight the battle, and on that day, 32 men died. And things started to go downhill for the nation of Israel, who had just fought and won the victory. Actually, God won the victory of the Battle of Jericho. It had nothing to do with the Israelites. But when they actually went to fight in Ai, they found destruction. And then in verse 10 of Joshua chapter 7, it says, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it into their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to the destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." Now think about that, and think about having hope. And if we have an aching type of event or something in our heart where our hope is in something from our Savior, and God says, okay, you want to trust in that? You want to lean on that? Fine, lean on that. And see what happens when the pressures of life start. But you want to lean on me? I'll be sure. I'll be a sure foundation, something you can trust in. When everything else is falling down, if your hope ultimately lies in me, I'll see you through the storm. I'll get you to the other side. But Achan chose not to rest his hope on God, and that God said, I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And when you get there, you'll have houses that you didn't build. You'll have fields that you didn't plant. You'll have a harvest ready for you that you didn't take the time to grow. And I have all that prepared for you. But Achan wasn't willing to wait. Wasn't willing to rest his hope on his Savior. And then I think about it in verse 20. It says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it.'" And Achan finally has to let his hope be exposed. What his foundation was on was the things that he had taken from Jericho. And he didn't have his hope in what God had promised him. In Numbers chapter, I don't know what your hope is in tonight. And what you're counting on. And where your rock is. What your faith is built up on. What your love is founded on. What your hope is. But are you trying to undercut God? Are you trying to slip by and do things your own way? In the book of Numbers, chapter 32 and verse 23, a verse that I have really tried to make sure that I know the reference to, so I can point this out to someone.
and can talk to them about it. It says, be sure your sins will find you out. And that's what happened to Achan. And when our hope is in something that it ought not to be, and it's not placed in the right place, that's going to come to the surface. And it will end in disaster. And you, Christian, what we need is we need our hope to be in the Lord. Problems are going to come, right? Either like they did for Daniel, or like they did for Achan. The difference between Achan and Daniel, when it all comes down to it, is that Daniel's foundation, his anchor, was God. And Achan's was in himself. And when the problems of this world came, it all fell apart for Achan. When the problems of this world came for Daniel, and he had his Lord and his God to lean on, even though things looked very bleak and very hopeless, he had hope in a Savior, and God was faithful. And God had a better end. I'd like to close this evening by looking in Ephesians chapter 3. Will you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3? In Ephesians chapter 3, I think we can put this all together. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Is your foundation Jesus Christ? Is he the rock that you cling to in times of trouble? I hope so. I hope so. I am so excited that I've gotten the opportunity to talk to you about an immovable God. And next week, I plan to we're going to talk about evangelism and reaching the lost next week. So I'm excited about that. I hope you will be too. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for being a rock that we can stand on. Lord, I thank you that in the storms of life, when we have problems arise, that you are immovable, that you give us hope, the Lord, that we have faith, and we can count on your love, the love that would cause you to come to this earth, to give your life for us as an atoning sacrifice. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless us this evening, give us wisdom as we have the quarterly business meeting, and might your name be praised through that. I pray that you'll help us to live for you this week, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we face trials from within, from the world, from the devil, that you would help us during those trials to stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ, and to lean on our faith, to lean on our hope, and to lean on your love. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.